Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Come on, let's really give him a hand clap. Anybody thankful to be in God's house? Come on, anybody thankful to be born again today? Anybody thankful to be delivered from something today? I don't know about you, but I'm thankful. Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're here. We thank you that you're going to move, you're going to speak, you're going to save, you're going to heal, you're going to deliver. Man, if you're comfortable with it, just lift a hand to heaven, those of you that are right now. We open our hearts, we open our lives to you. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you move across this crowd. You show us your will, you show us your way, you open up your word. I thank you for lives changed, for people lifted to a new level today. Lord, I thank you that you're building your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And the church said, amen. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor, tell them this morning. Say, you're lucky you got to sit by me today, huh? They're lucky to get to hang out with you. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you have your Bible on you today, I'd like you to open it up to Psalm 84. It's right in the middle of the Bible. It's one of the Psalms of David. We're going to open it up to Psalm 84. If you haven't met me before, my name is Pastor Brian Gibson, and let me say it's an honor and a privilege to get to speak the Word of God into your life. I believe if we let the Word work in our life, it'll change everything. Amen. So we're gonna read the Word of God in 1 second out of Psalm 84. Let me tell you a little bit about this psalm. This is a psalm of David. Everybody say David. Listen, David probably is my favorite person other than Jesus, my Lord and Savior, in all of Scripture. I love David. I love the story of David. When you talk about David, you're talking about a psalmist. You're talking about a poet. You're talking about a warrior. You're talking about a leader. You're talking about a political force. You're talking about a sinner. You're talking about a guy that we can just connect with. A lot of guys love David because you can see a little bit of yourself in his life. And he's a guy that comes from obscurity, really. He's somebody that was discounted, passed over. Nobody thought he had what it took. And he's the guy that took Israel to its highest point, its highest pinnacle it really ever was. And so I've always said this, I think if anyone from the Bible deserves the title David, the title the Great, King David could be called David the Great. And he wrote some of the greatest poetry. Think about how many of y'all have ever heard or been comforted through the 23rd Psalm. Let me see your hand out there. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd psalm, man. It's one of my favorite psalms to pray. This is another one of my favorite psalms, and it's Psalm 84. It's about the house of God. We're preaching a message called Called Out today, also next week. And really what the church is, the word church in the original language is ekklesia. And that's a $100 theological word. That's a Greek word. Say it to somebody this week. You're going to impress them, all right? Everybody say ekklesia, huh? You've learned something. And what ekklesia means is I've been called out of darkness and put in marvelous light. Ekklesia means we've been called out of the world and we've been assembled together. We are not here by accident, church. We are here by the power and the purpose and the plan of God. Your life is not an accident. Come on. It's purpose. That's ekklesia. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful I got called out. And David is talking about the temple of God. He's talking about the tabernacle here. Really, this is an Old Testament prophetic picture of everything the church is designed to be. Psalm 84, let's go old school and stand up while we read this. I like to do that sometimes. I like modern church, but I like some old school stuff too. I like it all. And here's what it says, Psalm 84, verse 1, it reads like this. It says this, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. For my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Selah, which means stop and think about it. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage." Everybody say pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Come on, let's give God a hand clap for his word this morning. Come on, we're going to do good because we're planted in the house of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated in the house of God. Here's David talking about the house of God. There's one thing that David was. David loved the assembly in Israel. He really loved those who had been called out, and he loved corporate worship. Think about this. David is a young man who has a harp as a boy. He's writing songs. He's watching his father's flock, his sheep. He's out somewhere in the wilderness, and he's saying things like, the Lord is my shepherd. He's a worshiper. He's the worshiping king. You know, David becomes king, and when he becomes king, the Ark of the Covenant was no longer in possession of the people of Israel. How many of y'all seen Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones, and the Lost Ark? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Raiders of the Lost Ark. How many know you don't touch the Ark? Come on, it gets nasty. If you touch the Ark, all sorts of Nazis die in that movie when they mess with the Ark. Look at your neighbor and say, don't touch it. Just tell them that, huh? They couldn't touch the Ark because if you touch the Ark was the throne of God in the Old Testament. It was holy, it was set apart, it was sacred. And it's a symbol of the presence and the power and the authority of God. There's another Old Testament story where a guy touches the ark and he dies. But David loved the presence and the power of God. It had to be handled right, but it was to be important to the people of God. The other kings of Israel left the ark outside of Israel, didn't even go after it. David brought it back because he loved God's house and he loved the assembly. And he brought it back and he set it up in the middle of Israel. And he had a tabernacle, the tabernacle of David's what it was called. The ark was there. The people of Israel would gather around and worship God. He had people around the clock falling down before the ark to worship God. He had musicians there playing music all the time. He had singers there all the time singing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You would hear the praises of God coming off Mount Zion because the worshiping king set up that ark. There were doorkeepers. There were gatekeepers. There were men who would protect the ark of God. You know, David went on after that and he got it in his heart to build God a house. You know, the Bible says that King David was a guy after God's own heart. How many of y'all would like for God to look at your life and say, there's somebody who has a heart after me? Come on, let's give God a hand clap. Let's believe by faith we get that kind of heart. I want that kind of heart, amen? Heart after God's heart. And so David cared so much about the house. David got together. David was so financially successful. He got together billions of dollars, got the mind of God on how to build a temple in the midst of Israel. And whenever he died, his son was then told, you're going to build a house for the Lord. David couldn't build it because he had too much blood on his hands, too many acts of violence. But his son Solomon would take David's plan and execute it. So David starts talking about how much he loves God's house. He loves God's people. You know, I believe when David talks about this, he's talking about the heart of God. I'm telling you, God loves his church. God loves you. God loves to call us out of darkness, put us together, change our lives, and to build us up together as a spiritual temple together. You know, the Bible says this, that God's calling us and he's using us, and he's using us to be co-laborers or co-workers. Everybody say co-workers. Man, what the church is the church is a team of co-workers. We work together for the glory of God and the gospel message. We don't work just to scratch our itch or to get what we want or to worship with our style. Come on, we're co-workers with God. We're here for the gospel. We're here for the lost. We're here for the hurting. We're here for the broken. It's not about us. It's about him. Amen. We are co-workers together in Christ. And this picture, David starts off and he talks about the assembly or the church, how we should see it. And he says, how lovely, everybody say lovely. Come on, how lovely is your tabernacle, O God Almighty. He said that the tabernacle or the temple of God, the assembly point, said it's a lovely, it's a beautiful place. You know, whenever we come to church, I think we should make a decision that we believe this assembly right now, it's a lovely place. It's a wonderful place. And right now you're surrounded by wonderful people. Even if they're weird, they're wonderful. Come on, somebody. Huh? If you look around and you see some weird people, or if you don't see any weird people, it might be you. So don't look around too long, right? Listen, nobody's perfect in the house of God. If it was a perfect place, we messed it up whenever we got here. Amen? But I'm telling you, even though it's imperfect, even though people are fallen and they got their idiosyncrasies and their weirdness, just the sheer fact that God sees enough in us to call us out and assemble us together, it makes us lovely as a group. Come on. The tabernacle of God is a lovely place. How lovely is your dwelling place? Oh, God Almighty. Come on, it's a lovely place. I choose to look at the church as a lovely place. I choose to look at the tabernacle and the people of God as lovely people. I choose to see past any of our problems and look to the promise of God that He is perfecting us and making us like Jesus. See, here's a lot of the devil's ploy on people and the church. And we've all seen this. We've all been exposed to this. People that come to church with regularity, they're committed to Jesus. How many are you Jesus people out there, man? I'm a Jesus guy. I'm committed to Jesus. He's the Messiah. He's the Lion and the Lamb. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the bright and morning star. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the door. He's the answer. He's the water. He's the bread. He's the life. He's the wine. He's the true vine. I'm a Jesus guy. And I'm committed to Jesus. And I'm with a company here of people that are committed to Jesus. And if somebody were to come in here and say, hey, I'm killing people lest they'll, y'all have heard this kind of cliche play out, lest they deny Christ. The guy that does that, well, he's not going to kill a lot of people in Kentucky or Tennessee or Texas because everybody's got a firearm, you know, so it's not going to be easy here. But let's say if it were like that, he's going to kill a lot of people. Because how many of y'all, you're not tapping out on Jesus? How many of y'all aren't tapping out on Jesus? All right? We're not tapping out on Jesus. And the devil knows that. And so the devil says, if I can't sour you or get you to tap out on Jesus, what I'll do is I'll get you to tap out on the church. And when you tap out on the church, it'll be just as damaging to your life, your development, and your family as if you were to tap out on Jesus. Because you cannot divide Jesus from His church. They are one in the same. He is the bridegroom, the church is the bride. Come on, somebody. He is the Savior, the church are the saved. He is the Redeemer, the church is the redeemed. We are connected together as brothers and sisters with Christ as our Father. The church is dear. So I hear people say at times, they'll say, man, I love Jesus. It's the church I don't know about. What I want to say is you don't understand how lovely that group of people are. How lovely is your dwelling place? Those are people that are so lovely that God decided to slaughter His Son on the cross to put them together, to call them out, and to get their life back together. I'm telling you, the church is lovely. Come on, say this out loud. Say, how lovely is your dwelling place, oh God Almighty? See, the first thing we ought to see the church as is a lovely group. The second thing we ought to see the church as is a place where we get filled. How many are thankful to get filled up with the power of God, the Word of God, the presence of God? Man, I'm thankful for that. I think back to 1998, whenever God started moving in my life. And I won't go too far into my story because you'll see some more in a video in a moment. But I'm telling you, the church is the place where God's everywhere, His presence is everywhere. And if you're born again, the Spirit of God is in us. Spirit baptized, the Spirit of God is also on you. So God's with you wherever you go. But help me know whenever we come together corporately as the church, there's a special presence that comes in. There's a corporate anointing. And whenever the teachers start teaching and the preachers start preaching, man, you get filled with the Word of God. 1998, I was a messed up kid. I was a meth freak. Jesus saved me and delivered me and cleaned me up. And I planted myself on the front row of Victory Church in Amarillo, Texas. Now, I'm telling you, when they would teach there, when the worship would start, it was like water was washing over me. When the teachers would teach, it was like my brain was getting baptized, was getting washed again. Come on, the Bible says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right now, our mind is being renewed as we sit under the Word of God. We're getting rid of stinking thinking, and we're getting the right kind of thinking where we can think the thoughts of God, and then we can get the results of God in our life. That's what the church is about. And right now, you're getting filled up. Even if you can't discern it, there are days you feel bad. You were up late last night. Come on, the week was a grind. Some of you went on spring break and you rode like 12 hours with 15 children in a car and you cussed them out at the Valdosta line, but you repented a little further down by Pensacola. God forgave you. And it's been a tough week, but you might not even be able to discern. You're so wore out that you're getting filled right now. But I'm going to tell you something supernatural's happened, whether you can discern it or not. Right now, God is helping you and filling you. And there's been times in my life, I don't know if you've ever been here, where it's like, man, I'm so empty. Just because we leak in life, you know. You get full, and then sometimes it feels like you're leaking. It's like a balloon that the air is let out of. And Jesse and I, at times, we've looked at each other and it's like, we got to go to church somewhere. Y'all ever just like, I got to go to church. I want them to do whatever they can to help me when I get there. Preach to me, sing for me, prophesy to me, throw holy water on me, anoint me with oil. I don't care, just help me. And I'm telling you right now, in the house of God, we're being helped. David goes on and he says this, the second verse. He says these words. He says, my soul longs. Come on, there's a longing to be close to God in the presence of God. You gotta stay hungry for him. Don't let your hunger die. Don't let your thirst die. See his presence and this corporate group as a place where you get filled. And that thing will help you so much in life. It'll take you to another level. I love the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, by faith, give him a hand clap that you're getting filled this morning. Come on, let's really give him a hand clap this morning. We're getting filled in here, amen? Amen. You know, one of the next things I see here, verse 3, says this. It says, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Talks about a bird building a nest and placing its young in the nest. And he goes on and connects that to the altar of the house of God. You know, I think the house of God is a place where we should lay our young. Come on, somebody. Right here's the place where we should let our kids be developed in the things of God. I'm telling you, I'm so happy for all of the kids workers and the kids ministers that have been ministering to my children, to Briley now for almost 12 years, to Justice for 8 years, Chapel for 6 years. They've developed our young in the house of God. Now I'm telling you, there's something different about the kids raised in the house of God. There's a favor that comes on our children. Our kids are different than the kids in the world. Our kids have the touch of the King upon their life because they've been laid at the altar and dedicated unto God. Whatever you got to do, man, get your kids to the house of God. Whatever fight it takes, I'm telling you, it's worth it to get up and fight the fight of faith to get them all out here. I know you get them dressed and they get dirty. I know you like get their shoes right and the dog eats one of the shoes on Sunday morning. I know all that stuff's happening, but the best investment you'll ever make is getting your kids in the house of God. You know, I was brought up in the house of God. My mother took me to church every time it was open, I was there. And to be honest, I didn't like it. Let's say maybe the culture of the church wasn't exactly what I wanted, but the people were incredible people in that church. They really were. You know, sometimes I would fake in the morning like I had Ebola on Sunday morning. Mom, I got the Ebola last night, or, you know, I think I ate something bad, or coming down with the swine flu, you know. Try everything to get out of church when you're a kid. But just being there and being around those people that taught me that the Bible is the Word of God, they taught me the Roman road to salvation, they taught me the fruits of the Spirit, they taught me the Ten Commandments, that kind of thing, kids that are raised in that environment, you know, the Bible says train them up in the way they'll go, and I believe they don't ever have to depart from it, but if they do, I think there's still some cords, there's some hooks from the presence and the power of God that's already working to reel them back in. Come on. Those prodigals raised in God's house, they're always thinking about the Father's house, and you just can't shake it. I remember being out in the party world. We're partying, everybody's having a big time, and on the inside, it's like this. I'm like, yeah, we're having a big time right now, but we're not going to be having a good time when we're all rotting in hell. You know, you want to say that to your friends. Yeah, and it's like I had this conscious thing going on the inside where other guys could do whatever they wanted to, but when I did it, I felt bad. And I worked real hard not to feel bad about it for quite a few years. And finally, you know, it's just like, There's something about a kid that's been laid on the altars of the house of God. We stack the deck in the favor of the Lord. Come on. Those kids got to make choices, but I believe our kids are making the right choice. Come on, our kids are going to have a voice in the gates of the city. Our kids are going to be powerful. Our kids are going to have a voice. Our kids are going to have success. Our kids are going to be Jesus people. Come on, somebody. Our kids are coming up in the altars in the house of God. One of the last things I see, and I'll kind of stop preaching with this, I see that the house of God is a lovely place. The house of God is a place that fills us. The house of God is a place for our young. I also believe the house of God is a place that turns our trials into triumphs. Turns our trials into triumphs. The psalmist said this down in the middle of that psalm. He said, blessed is the man, verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Everybody say pilgrimage. Man, the people of Israel used to have to go up to Mount Zion where the temple was. They would take a holy trip, a pilgrimage, up to the temple in Israel. I believe every Sunday morning is a pilgrimage where we come together, where we do what we're called to do. He says this, he says, blessed is the man whose heart is set on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. What Baca means is the valley of weeping in the original language. When they pass through the valley of weeping, have you ever went through the valley of weeping in life? You know, there's no man or no woman that is exempt from the valley of Baca. Every person is going to have a tough day. And you might be looking at somebody saying, man, they got it all together. Life looks easy. They got it dialed in. They got it tuned in right now. But I know it's all good for them. I'm telling you, no matter how good it looks on the outside, no person is exempt from the valley of weeping. Weeping will come after each and every one of us. The difference is it says this, even though the person who loves the house of God, the person whose heart is set on pilgrimage, whenever they pass through the valley of weeping, the Bible says they make it a spring. Even though it's a place of weeping for them, God turns it around and it becomes a source of life. And what the devil meant to bury you, God will take it and use it to bless you. What the devil meant for evil, God's going to turn it around and use it for good. What was designed to destroy you will elevate you to another level in life. Even though you pass through the valley of Baca, you're going to make it a spring. You're going to rise up higher. You're not going to get bitter. You're going to get better, and God's going to move on your behalf. Come on, somebody give God a hand. Clap. Your Baca is becoming a spring. Your dry ground is becoming a river. That place that you thought would kill you is going to catapult you into the greatest day of your life. Your trial is becoming a triumph. Come on, somebody. God's going to move on our behalf. Though they pass through the valley of Baca. I mean, you guys are getting excited in here now. They make it a spring. Somebody say it's a spring. It's the way I see my trials now. You know, I don't like them. I don't believe God for them. I think they come from the devil. Huh? What the devil meant to destroy me, God's going to turn it around. And even though I passed through the valley of Baca, I decided by faith that I'm going to make it a spring. Now, I'm not going to get bitter. I'm not going to die here. I'm going to get better. Now I'm going to get wiser and I'm going to get smarter. Now I'm going to become a better husband and a better father and a better leader and a better pastor. And so Baca really develops you, doesn't it? Just got to let it become a spring in life. You skip down to the end of this psalm. David says, he says this. I love this. He says, a day in your courts. Better's one day in the courts of God. Better's one day with the people of God. Just one day is better. He said, I'd trade 1,000 days in the tent of the wicked for one day with God's people. I'm telling you, God's time is so great. Being in his presence, it's like a day with him is better than 1,000 days somewhere else. He goes on and he says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Aren't you thankful that we've been called out? We've been assembled together. We're part of the sacred assembly. Come on, somebody. We're part of the pilgrim. We're part of the people that make the pilgrimage. We're the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the bride of Christ. You are the apple of his eye. You are a special people. You're a special treasure before him. Come on, he has taken us and he's made us a part of the sacred assembly. I don't know about you, but I'm just blessed and I'm humbled that I get to be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, give him one more hand clap for letting you be a part of his church. I have some exciting news I'm pumped about. I get to share with you today. Super excited. And you know, Jesse and I, we were told years ago by God. God spoke to us to come to Owensboro and to build him a church. I was at an altar, and a guy prayed for us at ORU. And the Spirit of God spoke to me, and he said, build me a church, build me a church, build me a church. And I said, all right, I'll do that for you, Lord. That wasn't what I wanted to do back then, but come on. Whenever God tells you what to do, your wants and your desires begin to change in life. You begin to want what he wants for your life. And so we came to Owensboro, and we pioneered this church. 04, we started putting together small groups. 05, we had Sunday morning services. Jesse and I came to town. We didn't know anybody here. Hadn't spent a lot of time in Owensboro. And we walked in with a Bible, and we believed the word of the Lord. Now, I'm telling you, you should never despise the day of small beginnings. Is anything worth being a part of? It starts small. Somebody say amen to that. And we watched God move. I remember starting, finally we got a building, the old 2nd and Allen building downtown where the Mellow Mushroom is now. They put millions into that building. But back then that building was, it was cool. It had been Club 101, and they got busted there. And I thought turning a tavern into a tabernacle was one of the greatest things we could ever do. But that building had bats. It had rats. There were some homeless people that I think lived there. I could find their clothes. I could never find them. That's how I kept my cardio up. I went in there at night and just, you know, see what's happening, see if I got attacked or not. But God moved in there. I remember we had our first Easter. And our first Easter in there, we had like 80-some-odd people present. You know, last week was Easter. We had over 1,600 people in the house. We had 45 salvations, 25 water baptisms. Isn't that awesome? That's because somebody was co-laboring together. Amen? It's nothing we did. It's what we did together that matters. And we watched God build his church, build his church, build his church. You know, I had that first Easter, 80-some-odd people. That summer, we grew the church supernaturally. The church grew. We grew it down to about 35 or 40 people, and it was super encouraging at the time. And I was praying. I'm like, am I in the right place? God sent an evangelist that was preaching. This is a church that we still believe in the supernatural power of God. We still believe God speaks, God heals. There are signs and wonders that follow them that believe. How many of y'all believe God's still alive? I believe he's still alive. He's mighty to speak and to save. And this evangelist is up preaching real hard. He'd never heard me tell that story I just told. He's up there preaching. He said, God told Brian Gibson to go to Owensboro, Kentucky and build him a church, build him a church, build him a church. Said it exactly the way God said it to me. Man, I was floored. My mouth dropped open. Jesse and I looked over at each other. We're like, we're in the right place. And I'll tell you, God's been doing a great work. But there's something I want to teach you about volume in the Bible. All right, the Jews and also in Greek language. Like if you would look and you know where Jesus says, verily, verily in the Bible. Verily, verily, I say unto you. That's not that he said it twice. What that's denoting to you is volume. Instead of it being verily, verily, it's like, verily, I say unto you. All right, some of the only places where in the Bible it's listed like three times. The Bible says in the heavens, the angels are flying around God, and they're not just saying holy. It says they're saying holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. How many know the song that's been sung in churches forever? Holy, 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 right? It's not that they're saying it three times. It's that there's this earth-shattering, pillar-shaking cry of holy that goes in the heavens that it'd shake you to your core. And so I believe whenever God spoke to us in this church, it's a word over the church, build me a church, build me a church, build me a church. He's wanting to rattle us to our core with the idea that we're supposed to do everything we can to build the church all over the world and all over the nation. And you don't just do it once. You keep doing it till life comes out of you and it's over. It's the Great Commission. It's the plan of God. About twice, it's letting you know volume. So if it says verily, verily, it's verily. And then one of the only times something's repeated three times in the Bible is when it says holy, holy, holy. It's letting us know there's this cry of holy before the Lamb in the heavens that shakes the very foundation of the world. It's shaking. And I believe whenever God said, build me a church, build me a church, build me a church, he meant that we were supposed to do it big. We're supposed to keep going. There's a dark world that needs the light of Jesus. And we as a church are the people who are going to take the message to them. If it's not us, who's going to do it? If it's not now, when's it going to happen? If it's not here, where's somebody going to do something like that to touch and to change the world? Come on, somebody give God a real hand clap. He's going to change the world through our lives. And he's going to start it now. Amen. What we have is, I have a video that Pastor David and I, we shot this last week, talking a bit about what we're going to do. Now, I want you to see this video. We're going to roll it right now. Stay with us and watch this. I think it'll let you know a little bit more about what's coming.
Hello, Pastor David Brown here, and I want to say hello to Victory Church in Amarillo and also River City Church in Owensboro, our two churches coming together today and hearing about our bright future together, and we're excited about it. Pastor Brian Gibson and I, excited about joining our gifts, our talents, our teams together to advance God's kingdom, to plant more campuses, and to see God's power and God's grace come into so many more people's lives than we could ever do alone. Together, I think we're seeing a great vision unfold. I'm excited about it, and I want Pastor Brian to share with you his thoughts on this as we begin a brand new journey together today.
Hey, it's an honor to get to talk to you, and just want to say two of the most important churches and important places on earth for me is Amarillo, Texas, and Victory Church, and what Pastor David's ministry's meant in my life. You know, a lot of you know the story, some of you may not, but I came to Victory in 1998, and I was a kid that was all messed up. I had no direction in life. Drugs had a hold on me, and Pastor David preached the gospel to me. I was born again, was water baptized, I was spirit-filled, learned how to do ministry, ran off with the guy's daughter. So I was married at Victory Church, man, ordained at Victory Church.
I forgive you, by the way, for the daughter.
You forgive me. I think I've been pretty good to her so far. But I just want to say, Victory Church in Amarillo, I think I wouldn't be alive if it weren't for you. So it's massive to me. And also River City. Man, God spoke to me years ago. Jesse and I were going to school at ORU. God spoke to me, and I wanted to be an evangelist because church people are crazy. And I wanted to preach, and then I wanted to leave and not have to deal with the mess. But, you know, God loves me, and I'm crazy. He loves us all. And God spoke to me at ORU, and he said, I want you to build me a church, build me a church, build me a church. And so Jesse and I, we went to Owensboro. We love Owensboro with all of our heart. We've given 14 years there in ministry, and we got a lot more years to give to you. I'm just getting started here, Owensboro. I'm just catching my stride right now. And just to see what God's done at River City, it's been incredible. We see people born again every week, lives changed, people delivered. And that's not going to end, that's really just beginning. And so what God's doing is he's taking these two church bodies and he's making it one. Pastor David, he's going to remain on the teaching team. It's been a voice in my life and will continue to be. And then we're going to be better. Two are better than one. The Bible says that. That we can walk in agreement and we're going to get a ton done. And here's some of the vision of what we see happening. There are a lot of churches, some people aren't used to this locally, but there are a lot of churches in America now that they're one church in multiple locations.
Right.
They're moving so strong, they're building all over the earth. You think of the Hillsong Church, many of you are influenced with Hillsong music. They're putting church campuses all over the world. There's Life Church in Oklahoma City. They put churches all over America. My church is familiar with Dr. Morocco, King's Cathedral in Maui. They're up to like 150 campuses. You know, what we can do as a church, it's really larger than any of us could ever imagine.
Sure, yeah.
We got a God that can do more than we think, don't
Absolutely.
We? And I really believe, here's the goal. I think we ought to have a face-sized goal as a congregation. I think God can use us to multiply and use us as a force to change America. Now, I think we can go from two campuses to two locations right now. I'm believing God for 100 locations between now and whenever the next group of young people come and are at the helm and the leadership of this church. That's what I'm believing for.
What it's going to take is it's going to take us operating as a team. Mm-hmm. More than ever before, we need you to help us. We need you to pray with us. We need you to believe God with us. Nobody can do something like this alone. God calls us to work together. We're the body of Christ. And I want to encourage you to begin to pray. But again, some of you may want to fast today with us for this. And I'll tell you, I believe God's going to start to raise up leaders in all of our ranks at another level. There's going to be leadership opportunity. There's going to be adventure. Man, the faith life is supposed to be about putting something out there out of nothing by faith, believing God. And I think it's a time that we can do that supernaturally. Come on, we're going to have a great adventure. Come with us. God's going to do miracles on our behalf. We love you, and we look forward to seeing you. Come on, God's going to touch the world through these church bodies.
Brian, let's pray together. I'm excited about a new generation of leadership and raising up the next generation of leadership. You know, the kingdom of God is multi-generational, and that's what we're seeing and what we're connecting with our churches and becoming one is multi-generational leadership and discipleship, growing God's kingdom, and making sure the next generation and the next after that hear this wonderful, powerful good news of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together.
Yes, sir.
Both congregations, pray with us. Father, in the name of Jesus,
yes,
we ask for your blessing, for your guidance, for your strength, for your power, for your grace,
yes,
to flow through this new organization, this new church. And Lord God, for you to do what only you can do, do the miraculous as we present your good news to the world in a fresh, new, and bold way. We believe you for it. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I just want to say to you today that we are very, very excited. You know, when we planted this church, we had a Bible and no money, like Brian said. And I always thought, man, Lord, I know you're going to give us 100 campuses because we're believing you for that. But how are you going to give us 100 campuses that we have to build with only one Bible and no money? And so I'm just excited. We already have, there is a church there of 1,000 people that are looking to join up and to run a race with us. And together, you know, the Bible says one put 1,000 to flight, but two don't put 2,000, they put 10,000. When you put two things together, you multiply the impact and you multiply everything that you can accomplish. And I'm just incredibly excited to see what River City Church and Victory Church joining together as the Kingdom of God people to accomplish a God-sized goal can accomplish. I'll say one thing. My father's pastor there for 35 years, and he said when he was about Brian's age, that he had a vision from God that he was supposed to evangelize through crusades and plugging people into local churches, the large and middle-sized, all of the large and middle-sized cities in the nation of Honduras, and they were barely, there was a very small percentage of Christians in that nation. My dad felt called to that nation, and he spent the last 20 years covering it with the gospel and the healing message and evangelism. He said, when I was Brian's age, I told people that I was going to cover 60 cities in the nation of Honduras, and I was going to do it with strength, and we were going to change the nation of Honduras. Now, Honduras is more Christian than the United States of America, and my dad is 65 years old, and he only has one city left to go. And we're going to help him do that too, aren't we? He said, Jesse, I want to tell you something, honey. The vision that Brian has at his age, it is not impossible. People thought my vision was impossible too. But when the people of God join together, nothing is impossible with God. And so I'm believing that just like God fulfilled that vision with that young man and his ministry, that he's going to fulfill the vision that God has for this house, for us. And we're asking you today to join with us in believing God with us, working and continuing to love Owensboro and letting God do something that's larger than us that we get to be a part of.
Amen. Amen. Here's what we're getting ready to pass out and distribute to you, a sheet that has information about everything we're doing. Go ahead, ushers. You go ahead and begin to distribute those sheets. And it'll tell you over the next 3 months where we're going to be, what we're going to be doing. For a little bit, I'm going to be preaching here a ton. And Jesse's going to be here whenever I'm not a little bit. How many know whenever you get Jesse, you got somebody that speaks better than me anyway? Talking one of the, she can preach circles around most anybody in America. And we're going to get our flow. We're going to figure this out. But I know this. I know that we cannot do this
as a team without everybody praying, everybody fasting, everybody believing God, everybody serving. We need you. We need your help more than ever before. We're not going to touch a nation with the power of God unless we operate in unity. And when we operate in unity, church can't be about us. Come on, somebody. Church is not about us. Church is about fulfilling the great commission and the great commandment. It's about reaching the world. So we're going to have a Ask Us podcast that's coming out very quickly, where me and Pastor David, every week we'll have a podcast. You'll be able to email questions in. We'll answer any questions you have on that podcast. Also, I'm available to help you and to give you any information I have or I know right now. I know that Pastor David will remain on the teaching team. He's going to be helping teach out there. I'll be the senior leader here and there. You can look at a lot of churches that have models like this, but I'm telling you, we're going to need, I want you to believe God too, for leaders and leadership to rise up among our ranks. If we're going to plant 100 campuses and we're going to start doing this, we're going to need God to touch people, to lift them up, and to help develop them, get them ready to do something. I believe God's going to do that. But what I want us to do now is I want us to stand up on our feet. You can take that and look at that. I'll be at this altar for the next few minutes, and I want us to pray together. Now, I want us to pray that God would touch this church, that God would touch Victory Church in Amarillo, Texas. I'll tell you, I'm honored to get to help that church that rescued me. Without their influence and their input in our life, I don't think I'd be alive, and I don't think this church would be here. So I'm so thankful. Come on, let's give God a hand clap for the people that have helped us, ministered to us, all of us, got us ready. Come on, let's pray for a massive revival to flow through this church and that church, us as one body. Let's pray. Father, we pray now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you that you touch these churches, Lord, that you move and you enable us, you empower us supernaturally, Father, to do the work of the ministry. We believe you, Father, for success. We believe you for soul-winning anointing. We believe you, Father, for the grace of God and the help of heaven to begin to flow into this church and to flow into that church. Father, we say that you're going to make us 1,000 times more. Lord, put your hand on us, lead us, guide us, do what only you could do in our midst. We believe you and we thank you, Father, for a miracle in our midst. Lord, take us and make us 100 campuses, we pray in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Come on, somebody give God one more hand clap this morning. I'll be here next week. Come on, let's really give God a hand clap. Amen. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord.